is the Business Breakfast with Owanda on Jazz FM. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.
Here's Craig Earlham, market analyst at Owanda. Craig, very good morning to you. Let's deal with that headline first of all, then, about the shops or non-essential shops reopening from the middle of June. Now, we are speaking, as I said, to a retail specialist later on in the programme, but your reaction, first of all, a further milestone in the road to recovery, possibly?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is one of the things which really does aid these market moves. We've already seen a big bounce in the markets over the last month or two on the belief that we are starting to see lockdown restrictions being eased. We are seeing people being allowed to return to work, and this is obviously good for business, and therefore it's good for employment. It's also obviously good for the economy. So that when you see these further easing announcements coming, and we're seeing the numbers in terms of coronavirus cases and deaths improving, then it's obviously promising as far as the markets are concerned. And it's also happening outside the UK. We've seen it in the US as well, and Japan making announcements as well very recently. It seems that a lot of these major cities are now starting to move back towards something that resembles a new normal. And that's obviously promising. That's what we ultimately need to see. We just need to hope that it doesn't come at the expense of another sharp rise in cases.
Doesn't help us with our view of the V or U-shaped recovery, presumably, does it?
No, I mean, people are obviously trying to anticipate exactly what type of recovery it is that we're heading for. And V and U seems the ones that always get thrown around. And it's probably going to be somewhere in the middle, which feels like a bit of sitting on the fence type of answer. But I think a V-shaped recovery is just too hopeful. I think there's going to be far too many job losses permanently, which is going to make a V-shaped recovery too difficult to achieve. But I think a U-shaped recovery as well, where we kind of see a flatlining in the economy for a prolonged period of time. I feel like that's maybe a little bit too pessimistic as well. I think the efforts that have been made, not just in the UK, but in various countries around the world to preserve employment, I do think they are going to bear some fruit, even if there is going to be certain jobs that can't be, job losses that can't be avoided. And so I do think there is going to be a certain bounce back, but I just don't think it's going to be this kind of immediate bounce as if nothing ever happened, which is ultimately what the kind of V-shaped recovery implies. So I think we're going to have to wait a few months. Obviously, we also need a lot more things to happen in order for any recovery to really take hold. We need these shops to not just reopen, we need them to stay open. We need lockdown measures to not be reimposed, and therefore we need any second wave of the coronavirus to be limited and maintained. So there's, and obviously we need a vaccine, we need a cure. So this next 12 months is going to be incredibly challenging, and obviously we need a lot of things to go our way if we are going to see a decent recovery that preserves as many jobs as possible.
Going to be challenging for the steel industry, for aerospace, for aviation, and more talk about state support for those particular sectors. First of all, state support presumably means an equity stake, doesn't it, in these companies?
Well, I think the different governments are going to handle these a little bit differently. There's going to be a number of governments that are going to try and avoid any form of equity stake in the longer term and going to try to pursue the kind of loan route first in order to try and support these companies and allow them to get back on their feet with loans that are either going to be zero or extremely low interest. But obviously then there is going to have to be the fine print that comes with this, which is if you are unable to repay this, then an equity stake is going to be inevitable. But I think there's going to be massive efforts to avoid that, to be quite honest, because the last thing many of these governments want is to have stakes in various various companies from aviation, but also throughout the economy, really.
So what you're saying is that it'll be easy loans, low or no interest loans, rather than the taxpayer, as it were, taking a stake in Tata or Virgin Atlantic or whatever.
I think that's going to be the preferred route to begin with. Obviously, it's very difficult to predict the future at a time when there's so much uncertainty. But I think that's going to be the preferred route, is going to be state-backed loans, which ultimately can potentially move towards the kind of equity ownership. Like I say, it's going to be extremely difficult for any government to move into kind of equity ownership of various industries. I don't think it is going to be something that's going to be desirable as far as many of these governments are concerned. So I think that will be a last resort. I don't think it's going to be something that is going to be a target for many of these governments.
Just before we move on to China, which I want to talk to you about, let's just talk about Germany, which had two important indicators yesterday. First of all, into recession, or technically into recession, but business morale was rising, which suggests that if the engine room, if you like, of Europe is feeling relatively optimistic, then that's no bad thing.
We are seeing early signs that we are going to see a bounce back in Germany. Obviously, Germany has slowed prior to this crisis, which obviously doesn't help matters. So I think the fact that it's in recession now is a technical recession because of a small contraction in the fourth quarter of last year, rather than anything else. Really, it was a very minor contraction that we actually saw in the fourth quarter. But then we have seen stimulus efforts which have been agreed there, which appear to be working, at least in the near term. We've obviously seen this isn't a country that's been less hard hit than many other countries around it. We've seen far fewer cases, far fewer deaths, and we've seen far more testing. And we obviously have seen the economy starting to reopen sooner than the others as well. So it's very much ahead of the curve as far as that's concerned. So you would expect the third quarter is going to be far better for Germany than it is going to be for many of the countries around it. That doesn't mean it's obviously out of the woods. But like I say, the data, the stimulus, etc., it does seem very promising. But again, we have to be careful about just how optimistic we do get about many of these recoveries, because there is going to be longer term damage, which is inevitable as a result of any lockdowns.
Let's talk about China now, and various countries, big trading blocks around the world, are thinking possibly about, how can we put it, recalibrating perhaps their relationship with China. Firstly, they're saying here that it's impossible to get rid of Huawei from telecom networks by 2023. Does suggest, though, there's a slight movement in the government's attitude, particularly the Prime Minister's attitude towards Huawei, do you think?
It does seem that way. Obviously, they are taking another look at this now, which, given that it was only January when they actually made the decision to go with it in limited capacity and not in core infrastructure. The fact that they are reviewing this once again suggests that what we've seen over the last few months, or what they've seen over the last few months, is giving them cause for concern. I would imagine it means there's probably still a lot of pressure coming from Washington to not engage with Huawei. Whether that means that they'll completely remove it from the network, that would come as as a big surprise, because as Boris Johnson even stated previously, what is the alternative? It's not like there's three alternative firms that they can put in this infrastructure. Huawei is ahead of the curve, and that's what makes it so appealing. And others just haven't caught up and don't have the capability to put a replacement in. So it'd be removing it at great expense. So I do think that there may be reviews, and it may try to wind down its dependence on it. But until an alternative competitor from Europe or the US comes in, then I think it's going to be very difficult for Boris Johnson to get rid of the network altogether, whereas the US seems to be taking a much harder line on this.
What do you feel about the future of Hong Kong? I mean, if there were to be riots again, and there have been sort of starts of riots there, and riot police on the streets and so on. I mean, Hong Kong is it not the gateway to China as far as financial services are concerned? They might move away.
Yeah, well, it is for now. But I mean, I think as we've seen with the US last week, suggesting that they're going to have to review Hong Kong's special trading status because the autonomy factor is a major concern. I think there's going to be various countries around the world which may be looking at something similar, and will be eyeing the events that we're seeing in Hong Kong and the legislation which was put forward last week in China with regards to security and imposing security laws directly in Hong Kong, bypassing the legislator. I do think there is going to be a lot of governments around the world that are looking at this with a lot of concern, and will be weighing up the possibility that the future may look very different for the country. So I think it's very challenging. I think China is going to probably want to try and avoid a repeat of last year and enact enough that will prevent it happening again in the future. But I don't think it's going to want to to remove a key asset, which is Hong Kong, because if they intervene too much at this point, then countries will look at alternatives, and then that will effectively remove a prized asset from China. So it's going to be a fine balancing act, but there's clearly a lot happening there right now, which is extremely concerning for many of the people in Hong Kong, but also, of course, many countries that have traded with Hong Kong for many years.
Finally, the market's in rally mode after the bank holiday here.
Yesterday, those bank holidays in many different countries, including the UK and the US and large parts of Asia as well. So whether we can read too much into this bounce back is we'll be seeing over the next couple of days. There's been obviously a few things. The fact that we are seeing economies reopen, more easing measures announced, has always been beneficial, or has been beneficial to the markets over the last couple of months. The talk of a vaccine in the US as well, going to human trials. Miles is now boosting things as well. As I said earlier, it's all well and good these economies reopening, but unless we avoid a major second wave that reverses these easing restrictions, then it's not going to last very long. Whereas obviously promising movements on vaccines and cures, etc., that's going to be the thing that's going to be able to sustain anything, because ultimately that's going to be the thing that's going to allow us to return to the life that we had previously without fear that there is going to be mass infections again and lockdowns reimposed.
Craig Ellam, thank you very much indeed.
This is the Business Breakfast with Oanda on Jazz FM. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.